Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Tzadi Vov. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We will be starting today's shiur 12 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Vov. Before we begin the shiur, let's glance at the side where you notice we have a nosei mivne heading, a topic heading with a structural note. The note reads, Man Tana. Who is the Tana? Who is the author of the idea of the Shabbos Zman Tefillin? That Shabbos is a time for mitzvah, for the fulfillment of mitzvah tefillin. For who Tana Kama de Masnisin? And in our Mishnah, we saw such an opinion. De Mishum de Shabbos Zman Tefillin Mutter Lahachnis Rag Zug Zug. Because Shabbos is the time of tefillin, one is limited to how many pairs of tefillin he can wear in the case that he finds a pile of tefillin lying in disgrace, as we explained in our previous shiur. In effect, we're picking up from the end of our previous shiur, so to appreciate the opening of today's shiur, it's certainly worthwhile having heard the end of the previous shiur. So, in the end of our previous shiur, we had established that the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabban Gamliel concerned the issue of whether or not you consider Shabbos the time for wearing tefillin. So we're focusing on this issue. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we're using a house shape that will assume two directions as you go on. So with the roof or the tip of the house pointing upwards, these represent hatsa'os. These are suggestions or recommendations of who might be that author, that Shabbos is a time for wearing tefillin. And when the house shape flips over, that at that point the Gemara will reject the suggestion. You can see, just if you scan ahead on the page, you'll notice how this discussion continues, and you'll see that it goes over till Omid Beis as well. So, bearing all that in mind, we start the Gemara. The Gemara's question, Uman Shamis Le Shabbos Zman Tefillin, we're 12 lines from the top, you notice. And who is the author of the idea? Who is the Tanakhama? In other words, the Tanakhama, the first opinion in our mission, appears without a name. So what name can we fill in, so to speak, for that first opinion, that Shabbos is the Zman Tefillin? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Akiva. Now, you'll notice that we have a long bracketed section. We have a note on the side by the star, and we've written Achrei Sugrayim Agmora Matsha Hatzazu. After the brackets, Agmora will raise a question on this suggestion. Rabbi Akiva Sover the Shabbos Zman Tefillin. This suggestion that Rabbi Akiva is of that opinion, so we'll raise a question on that. Tocha Sugrayim Agmora Mevia Hatzazu. Within the brackets, the Gemara continues with this suggestion. Let's read that note again. Tocha sugram Gemara mevia mokor levases hatzazu. The Gemara will bring a basis for this suggestion. Umala she'ela mimishna bekrisus ve'oina. And the Gemara will also raise a question from a Mishnah in Maseches Krisus and answer that question. So there's a whole give and take section within the brackets. However, we are noting the superstructure, namely, after the bracketed section, one will then question, can you really say that Rabbi Akiva holds Shabbos Zman Tefillin? We'll repeat once again, but we're not going to be able to repeat this all the time, this idea that Shabbos Zman Tefillin is associated with the Tanakhama, who said that as a result of being of it being the time for the mitzvah tefillin, you can wear only one pair by doing more than what the mitzvah requires. Since it's the time of tefillin, you would be in violation of Baal Tosef. The Gemara. After having given all that introduction, we go through the Gemara straight now in the bracketed section. We're saying that Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, Desanya. We have a Tanaic source. There are two opinions in this source. We want to focus on Rabbi Akiva, who's the second opinion. The Pasuk says, V'shamarte es hachuka hazos l'mo'ado miyomim yomima. The Torah in Sefer Shmos, it says, you shall keep this mitzvah, miyomim yomima. What do we mean by that? Yomim velo lelos means it's a mitzvah that's performed by day and not by night. Miyomim velo kol yomim. Some of the days, the mem is minimizing some of the days, and not all days. Prat, l'shabosos v'yomim tovim. To the exclusion of Shabbos and Yom Tov, divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So that Rabbi Yossi is assuming that v'shamarta sachuk hazos l'mo'ade yomim yomimo is a reference to the mitzvah of tefillin. And his opinion is that you would keep tefillin during the daytime and not nighttime, and you would observe tefillin on weekdays, not on Shabbosim and Yomim Tovim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Nemar Chuka Zu, Elo Inyan Pesach Bilvad. Rabbi Kiva says that this pasuk is not referring to tefillin. It's referring to the mitzvah of Pesach. The Rashi says, Elo Inyan Pesach, right across from here, the Airi Ba Li Elmina, the Torah before this pasuk had been speaking about Korban Pesach, the Hai Miyomim Yomima, the words Miyomim Yomima, has a totally different meaning than that which Rabbi Yossi Haglili had said, but rather it means Mishana Lishana, from year to year, the Metargaminon, the Targum, the Aramaic Targum, the translation of Miyomim Yomima, Mizman Lizman, from time to time. Almo Midolo Dorish Rabbi Kiva Hai Krob Tfilin, from the fact that Rabbi Kiva does not darshan this pasuk as referring to Tfilin, Shvamino Disrilay, as far as Rabbi Kiva's position is concerned regarding Tfilin, is Lailo Vishabas Man Tfilin, the Lo Kamimayat Luhu Krah. Shabbos and nighttime are Tfilin times, for the pasuk is not excluding them with regard to Tfilin. So at this point, just to repeat, from the fact that Rabbi Akiva does not darshan this pasuk as referring to tefillin, it shows us that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that Laila and Shabbos are tefillin times. The Gemara asks a question. The question lasts a number of lines. Ve'alaha disnan, the following Tanaic source that says HaPesach v'amilo mitzvah say, this is a Mishnah from Maseches Krisus, and it says that the Korban Pesach and the mitzvah of Mila, of circumcision, are positive commands. And as a result of that, if one is in violation of them, he would not have to bring a sin offering, a Korban Chatos. Korban Chatos is brought for one who violates negative commands that would otherwise be punishable by Kores if one did it b'mezid. So we have a Tanaic source that says the Pesach is a positive command. Lema delo k'Rabbi Akiva. Should we say that this Mishnah, the Mishnah just quoted in Krisus, is not in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva? For if this would be in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, Kevan de Muki law of the Pesach, since he took the Pasuk of Vishamarto es hachukazos that we had quoted above, and said that refers to Pesach, and the word v'shamarta appears in the pasuk, lav nami ika. There is also a negative command associated with the lack of Pesach, Korban Pesach, fulfillment. And how do we know that there's a negative command? By the way, just to repeat ourselves, with regard to a Korban Chatos, when one is in violation of a negative command, he would be subject or liable to bring a sin offering. How do I know that Rabbi Akiva would categorize Pesach as a negative command, Kidder Rebbe Ovin Omar Viloi, based on Rabbi Ovin's teaching, the Omar Rabbi Ovin Omar Viloi, Komokum Shinama Ishomar Pen Va'al, wherever you find in the Torah any of the either one of these words, Hishomer or Pen or the or Aul, Eino Elo Beloisase, that shows us that you're dealing with a negative command. Therefore, let's repeat the question. The Mishnah in Krisus that says that the Pesach is classified as a mitzvah saseh, and hence there is no need for bringing a korban chatos if one violates it inadvertently, that would apparently not be along the lines of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva would tell you that Pesach is also a mitzvah lo saaseh, based on the pasuk above v'shamarta sachukazos, which Rabbi Akiva associate with a Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah in Krisus, which says that a Pesach is only a mitzvah saseh, would not be in conformity to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, not so. Afilu temo Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah in Krisus that said Pesach is a mitzvah saseh, can be in accordance with Rabbi Akiva as well. And the reason for that is, he shomer de lav equals lav. He shomer de aseh equals aseh. Where you see the word Vishamarta or he shomer associated with a negative command, so then the word he shomer will represent a lav, a loisase. However, where the word he shomer appears or vishamarta appears in the context of something that is purely positive in nature, like the obligation of bringing, which is a positive command, you shall get up and bring a korban Pesach, so the hishomer that appears with it is also an aseh. So that the Pesach is not to be classified as a losase, hence the Mishnah in Krisus that said Pesach milo mitzaseh could be in line in accordance with Rebbe Akiva. So far, where are we holding? So far, we're assuming that Rabbi Akiva is the opinion that Shabbos is Zman Tfilin. And the reason for that is because the Pasuk in Shmos V'Shamatas Achukazos, he associated with Korban Pesach and has nothing to do with Mitzvah Tfilin, and hence Shabbos and Yom Tov and nighttime is not excluded with regard to Tfilin. Question. Notice the question lasts a few lines. V'sava Rabbi Akiva Shabbos Zman Tfilin Hu? Is it really possible to say that Rabbi Akiva says that Shabbos will be Tfilin time? V'ha Tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva here is emphasized. He says, Yochol Yaniach Odom Tfilin B'Shabbosos V'Yomim Tovim. Could it be that a person shall wear Tfilin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Talmud Loimar, the Posuk says, V'hoyo L'cho L'yois Al Yodecha. We learn from this, Mi Shetzrichimos, those times that require a sign, Yotzu Elu, to the exclusion of Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shein Gufon Ois. Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves are a sign or an affirmation of the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established with the Jewish people. So, when do we need to have a sign? On weekdays. Then the tefillin fulfill this ois, the fulfillment of sign requirement. However, on a day that itself reflects the bond, the covenant between the Jewish people and the Almighty, you don't need the tefillin. So we see here very clearly that Rabbi Akiva will tell you that Shabbos is not the time of tefillin. Nighttime, that's a different story. Nighttime is the Zman of tefillin. That particular information will help you understand that which we learned earlier, but we want to focus right now on the main topic, and that is, who holds that Shabbos is the Zman of tefillin? So it's not Rabbi Akiva. Elo, another suggestion. Hai Tana Hu. It's in accordance with the following Tana. The Sanyo Hanir Balailo, one who is awake at night. Rotza Choletz, Rotza Miniach. Divrei Rabbi Nosson. If one is awake at night, if he wants to, and we dashed underline the main point, he can put on tefillin. Yoinasan Hakitoni Omer Ein Manichin Tfilin Balaila. The second opinion here, which we're not emphasizing, is Yoinasan's opinion that the time, the nighttime, is not a time for putting on tefillin. But focusing on the Tanakama on Rabbi Nosson, Midalailo Latanakama Zman Tefillin, from the fact that he holds that nighttime is a time for mitzvahs tefillin, Shabbos Nami Zman Tefillin, Shabbos is also a time for tefillin. And that's basically what we're looking for. That and at this point then, Rabbi Nosson would be the author of our first opinion in the Mishnah. The Gemara rejects the Dilma Svirulei Lailo Zman Tefillin Hu, Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin Hu. Maybe Rabbi Nosson holds that the nighttime is fit for wearing tefillin. Shabbos is not a time for wearing tefillin. Da Shamino Lei the Rabbi Kiva Domar Lailo Zman Tefillin Hu, Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin Hu. We just got finished with Rabbi Kiva before as holding that very position, that the nighttime is fit for wearing tefillin, and Shabbos is not the time for wearing tefillin. So once again, who is the author of our Tana Kama? Who is that Tana Kama that says Shabbos is the Zmanas tefillin, and as a result of that, you can wear only one pair when saving them from disgrace? Elo hai Tana hu Desanya. We have another Tanaic source that will reflect such an opinion. This source deals with two women. Michal, that's referred to as Bas Kushi. Kushi is another expression used to refer to Shaul HaMelech, the daughter of King Saul, and the wife of Yonah. She was the wife of the prophet Yonah. Yonah, and some are familiar with Yonah, being Yonah and the whale, if you will. What does this source teach us about these women? We should point out, by the way, just by way of in background, which is very important for this discussion, women, in addition to being obligated to fulfill or maintain all the negative commands of the Torah, with regard to positive commands, they fulfill positive commands that are not time-bound. However, mitzvahs that are time-bound, in general, they're not obligated to fulfill. We refer to that as mitzvah saseh shahazman groma. That's background. Now the Gemara. The source says, Michal bas kushi hoysa menich manachas tefillin velo michu bo chachomim. Michal, the daughter of Shaul HaMelech, she wore tefillin, and the chachomim did not object. If they remain silent, so there's no problem here of what we call Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif would mean adding to that which the Torah commands. The Ishto Shel Yonah Yisoilu L'Regel, the wife of Yonah, would participate in the thrice annual pilgrimage. The Aliyas HaRegel, three times a year, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, where the Torah requires coming to Yerushalayim to and offer korbanos. So the wife of Yonah would practice that. Midolo michu bo chachomim, from the fact that the chachomim did not protest their behavior. Almo kasavri, it shows us that they are of the opinion mitzvah saseh shelo asman gromahu, that these are mitzvahs, and we're focusing right now on tefillin, that are not time-bound. Because if they were time-bound, the woman would be exempt. And then for her to do it as a mitzvah, she would be adding to something the Torah does not require. Therefore, the Chachamim would have certainly spoken up. Rashi, toward the bottom, Shelo Azman Groma, Alma, mitzvah tefillin, Kol Shah, the mitzvah tefillin must be all the time. Gamba Laila, Gamba Shabbos. The Mafkis Chad, if you were to exclude one of these, then Havi Lahuzman Kavua, then it would be time bound. Meaning, let's say, for example, that Shabbos was not the time for tefillin, so we say that tefillin is limited to 6 days a week by saying that she wore the tefillin and the chachamim remained silent, it must be that it's not bound by time, and hence it applies all the time, nighttime and Shabbos. So this is what we are looking for, an opinion that would hold that Shabbos zman tefillin, and as a result of that, our Tanna Kamma said that you would be allowed to save only one pair each time. The Gemara rejects this. The Dilma Sovar law, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Kerebi Yoisi. This silence of the Chachamim, the Lo Michu Bo Chachamim, might be in accordance with Reb Yossi's approach to women and mitzvah fulfillment. But what we have to emphasize over here is that Shabbos might very well be not the time of tefillin, making the tefillin a mitzvah aseh, shahazman groma. So then why did the chachamim remain silent? So we're explaining that now, based on Reb Yossi, Yomar, Noshim, Somchos, Rishus. That even though the Torah says regarding the mitzvah of smicha, somchos is the placing of hands on a sacrifice brought to the Beis HaMikdash, the owner is expected to place his hands on the animal's head. The Pasuk says, and Rashi quotes this on the second line from the top, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'matalev odom ki yakriv mikem. We dashed on the line b'nei Yisrael, and we learn from this, after it says v'somach yodo, and we darshin b'nei Yisrael soimchen v'lo b'nos Yisrael somchos. The pasuk excludes women when they bring their sacrifice. They do not, from the Torah, they are not expected to do smicha. Yet Reb Yossi says that they can, if they want to, they can fulfill the mitzvah, and they're not in violation of Baal Toysef. So then what about they're wearing the tefillin? So there's no Baal Toysef. So even though Shabbos is not the Zman of tefillin, so there's no Baal Toysef because of this approach of Reb Yossi, that the fact that someone who's not obligated and does the mitzvah anyway, that's an option they have. It's Rishus. Now, as far as wearing them on Shabbos when they're lying in disgrace, that's also not a problem of Shabbos. It's not a Shabbos violation because you're wearing it as a tachshit. The Gemara continues, D'i lo teima hochi. If you don't say thusly, namely, if you don't accept this idea that Shabbos is really lo zman tefillin, and that tefillin is mitzvah saseh shahazman groma, if you don't say this approach, what about the case of the wife of Yonah that practiced Aliyas HaRegel and the Rabbanon remained silent? How are you going to explain their silence over there? Because it's a mitzvah say shalom azman groma? That's impossible. Is there anyone that would say that the holiday observance, including the Aliyas HaRegel, is not time-bound? Obviously, it's the ultimate time-bound. One performs the holiday pilgrimage only during the holiday. You have 7 days for Pesach. You don't have, it's not an open-ended thing. It's only on those 7 days. Sukkot, you've got the 7 or 8 days for Aliyas HaRegel, and that's it. It's the ultimate in time-bound. So how do you explain the silence of the Chachomim? Elo kosovar rishus. It's because they hold it's an option for women to fulfill the Aliyas HaRegel, even though it is time-bound. Hochanami rishus, so too with regard to the tefillin of Michal. It's true, it's time-bound. Shabbos is not the time of tefillin. It's time-restricted. It's time-bound to the 6 days of the week. And that Michal wore the tefillin, that's because women have an option. So far, we're still looking for an opinion that holds that Shabbos is the Zman of tefillin, and hence our Tanna Kamma said you can wear only one pair at a time. So we continue. Elo, hai tana hi, disanya. We have another Tanaic source, and it will take a few lines to develop this, point out the that we will have found a Tana that holds that Shabbos is the time. Elohai Tanahu Desanya Hamotzi Tfilin. We saw in our Mishnah this point as well. This is a Brisa that says one who finds Tfilin Machnison Zug Zug. One who finds Tfilin lying in disgrace, he brings them in pair at a time. Echod Hoish Vechod Hoisha. Echad Chadoshos Vechad Yishonos, Divrei Rebbe Meir. Men and women, even if they're Chadoshos, and we saw before Chadoshos, something that's not so obvious, it's not obviously Tfilin. But yet, Rebbe Meir is Mekil. Rebbe Yehuda Oser B'Chadoshos, Umatir B'Yishonos. Rebbe Yehuda disagrees, but he disagrees only on the point of the Chadoshos. He says that Chadoshos, you cannot wear them in on Shabbos. Ad kan lo pligi alo b'chadoshos v'yishonos. Their only machlokas concerns how far we allow you to go regarding the new ones, the ones that are not clearly tefillin. Avo be'isha lo pligi. But as far as a woman wearing the tefillin in, there is no machlokas. Shma mino, well, this shows us that mitzvahs asei shelo hazman gromahu. The fact that women are allowed to wear this in, it shows us that Shabbos must be also the time for tefillin performance. So Shabbos is the time, the nighttime is the time, all the time is the time for wearing tefillin. Hence, it's a mitzvahs asei, it's a positive command that's not time bound. The chol mitzvahs asei shein hazman gromahu loshem chayavos. All non time-bound, positive mitzvahs, women are expected, are obligated to fulfill something like a mezuzah. If a woman lives alone in an apartment, in a house, she has to affix a mezuzah to her doorposts. The Gemara tries to reject this, and that's why you'll notice we have an inverted house, but it's a dashed inverted house. It's not going to be a successful rejection, as you can see in another couple lines, a repositioned house facing up, reinstating this suggestion, this source as being our Tanakama. The Gemara says, V'dilma sovar lo k'Reb Yosi, d'yomar noshim samchos b'shus. Maybe the fact that women are also allowed to wear the tefillin in from the field is simply because this that Shabbos really is not the time of tefillin, being that it says mitzvah to say shelo hazman gromahu, and that when it comes to women wearing tefillin, it's something that they do as an option that they have. So the Gemara says lo, and now this is a long answer. Lo salka daitoch. To suggest that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, who appeared in the most recent Tanaic source, hold like Rebbe Yosi, that women, Noshim Somchos, is that women who fulfill mitzvahs they're not obligated to do are not in violation of Baal Tosif, because he holds they have an option of fulfilling those mitzvahs, but that Shabbos is really lo zman tefillin, that cannot be said. We cannot say that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda subscribe to Rebbe Yosi. And the Gemara goes through this methodically in this long answer. Lo salka daitoch. You can't think that. Rather, the lo Rebbe Meir sovalok Rebbe Yosi, v'lo Rebbe Yehuda sovalok Rebbe Yosi. Neither one of the Tanoim above hold like Rebbe Yosi. So to suggest that the source above is really holds that tefillin are not fulfilled on Shabbos, that just can't be. And the Gemara explains, Lo Rebbe Meir Sovalok Rebbe Yosi, Disnan, we have a Tanaic source, it says, Ein Me'akvin Esatinokis Miliskoa. One does not restrain a child from blowing shofar on Shabbos. Let's say Shabbos coincides with Rosh Hashanah, so we don't restrain a child from blowing the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi says, let's correct ourselves. We're talking about Yom Tov, that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, which is a time, obviously, for fulfillment of mitzvah shofar. So if a child is blowing a shofar, we don't restrain him, because there's a mitzvah of chinuch, of educating children in mitzvah performance. But we can infer from this, ha noshim akvin. However, when it comes to women, we will restrain them from blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Now, you see, ma'akfin, we restrain them. So there's no issue here of rishus. We step in and say you cannot do it. And if a woman would be blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it would appear that they're in violation of Baal Toisif, because they're fulfilling a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. Ustam masnisin Rebbe Meir, an unnamed Mishnah, is assumed to be Rebbe Meir. So you have here a position taken by Rebbe Meir that when it comes to a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, Rebbe Meir is saying they don't have rishus, they don't have a right to perform it or fulfill it because of the problem of Baal Toisif. That's not like Rebbe Yossi. The low Rebbe Yehuda saw like Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Yehuda also does not hold like Rebbe Yossi. Disanya, we have a Tanaic source. The Gemara will point out after the source, even though the first opinion comes here without a name, but it's an unnamed drusha on Sefer Vayikra, and drushas, psukim expounding that is appropriate or takes place within the psukim of Sefer Vayikra, is known by the term Sifra. The Medrash on Sefer Vayikra is the Sifra. And an unnamed statement in the Sifra is associated with, or automatically is assumed to be, Rebbe Yehuda. So let's see what the source says. We're telling you that Rebbe Yehuda does not accept Rebbe Yossi. The source says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'somach. This, once again, is a reference to the placing of hands on the korbanos, this Tanakhama says, "Bnei Yisrael somchun vein bnei Yisrael somchos." Men folk of the Jewish people do smicha, placing of hands on a sacrifice. Women folk do not. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Noshim somchos rishus. Rabbi Yosi, along with Rabbi Shimon, say they have the option if they should so desire. We're focusing, though, on which we dashed underline, where it says, Ein benos Yisrael somchas. Ustam sifra money, an unnamed drosha on Sefer Vayikra, which we know as the sifra, is whom? Rebbe Yehuda. That having been said, you can see that's the end of our long response, the long answer, and that reinstates the most recent house marking, the solid house marking, that found in the name of Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. And for a woman to be wearing the Tefillin in on Shabbos, or the Tefillin that were lying in disgrace, is an indication that Shabbos is the Zman of Tefillin. That would show us that it's a mitzvah, and the fact that the women were doing it, it must be that as we said before, mitzvahs say shelo hazman grom, it's not time-bound, meaning Shabbos is therefore the time for doing it. And hence, women can wear the Tefillin in when lying in disgrace. And that's what we were looking for when we were looking for our Tanakhama that says that you can wear only one pair of Tefillin. Being that Shabbos is the Zman of Tefillin, wearing more than one pair would be a problem of Baal Toisif. Rabban Gamliel, on the other hand, in our Mishnah, who said you can wear two pairs of Tefillin, so he would be of the opinion that Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin. And therefore, by wearing two pairs, I'm not adding to the mitzvah, because the Shabbos is not the time for that particular mitzvah fulfillment. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side which reads Haim Ribui Hatircha Hadorush Lachonas Chefetz Nechshav Kehocha LeKashruso. We'll be dealing with this idea, namely the additional effort made in making an item and preparing an item. Does that show us that the item is kosher? The fact that I'm investing extra efforts in making the item, does that show us that it's kosher, either as one, tefillin, two, tcheles. Tcheles is the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tcheles is actually dyed wool that's eventually made into threads or strings that are used for tzitzis. Under the Mivneh heading that you see triangles in two different directions. We've noted Deos Cholkos Benoseh Hanal. There are differing opinions regarding this topic, the chance or the ability to associate it, to associate extra effort as an indication that you're dealing with something that's kosher, namely that if you invested so much effort into making it, it must be that it's the real thing. At this point, that might sound a bit abstract. Hopefully, by learning the Gemara and its examples, this will become clearer. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar Reb Elazar, Hamotze Tcheles Bashuk. If one finds dyed wool, it's dyed with Tcheles. Tcheles was actually a fairly expensive dye. You find it used in the Beis HaMikdash and in the making of tzitzis. So now, if one finds dyed wool in the shuk, dyed with tchelis, lishonos psulos chutin ksherim. Lishonos would be pieces of wool that are combed and dyed. Combed wool and dyed. Psulos means you couldn't automatically use them for tzitzis. Maybe they weren't dyed with the intent, with the kavona of it serving as tzitzis. And we require the manufacture to be done with lishma, with intent. So if you find merely dyed, we'll say, hunks of combed wool, that's not kosher for using as tzitzis. However, chutin sherim. If you find, however, strings of dyed wool, that is acceptable. My shna l'shoinos, what is different about the l'shoinos, the combed wool? The omar, we figure, adaito de glimo tzavinu, they were dyed with the purpose, not of making them into tzitzis, but rather in weaving it into a garment. Glimo is a type of coat, cloak, or a garment. Well, chutin nami, just because you found strings that were dyed tcheles, nemo adaito de glimo tavinu. Maybe they were dyed also for the purpose of making them into a garment. Now, chutin would have to say is something like a string or a strand. It's a stage beyond the lishonos. It's a little more processed into strings. Chut is something that is something like a string you would use in sewing. So maybe the chutin were also dyed with the intent of weaving them into a glima. So the Gemara answers b'shezurin. Shezurin is a situation where you twist strings or thread. Maybe we should have said before, instead of the word string, we should say thread. Chutin would be thread, and shizurin is where you twist it together, threads forming strings. So that's what Rebbe Elazar was saying, that if you find the chutin, shizurin, they're kosher. The Gemara asks, shizurin ami neimo adaito de sifso de glimo aifinu. Maybe he took these strings, the twisted threads that were formed into strings, to adaito with the intent, the sifso, to attach to the border as a something decorative around the border of a glima, of a garment. Aifinu, he twisted them for that purpose. The Gemara answers, b'mufsakin. Rashi says, these are mufsakin, they're cut into a size that's fit for making into tzitzis, and the kulei alma, the kulei hai vade lo tarchi inshi. Rashi explains the mufsakim de kulei hai lo tarach lachzor lekoshram ulahosech oisan. In order to make it into a border for a garment, apparently it would require taking these cut strings and re-tying them and then attaching them. All of that would demand too much effort. So that the fact that I found dyed strings that are shizuris, twisted threads made into strings, dyed tchelis, and they're also mufsakin, they're also cut to size, it's an indication that they are there for tzitzis. Omar Rava. Rava capitalizes on this issue of effort as a means of determining things, and he asks, "V'chi adam toreach lasos kemea kemin tefillin? Would a person trouble himself to make an amulet that looks like tefillin? Let's just assume that to make tefillin, that requires the investment of tircha, of effort. Would you expect a person to trouble himself to make a kamea, an amulet, to look like tefillin disnan?" We have a source that says, "Bamed mamamurim, when can you save the that which appears as tefillin biyishamas? Avo bechadoshos potter. However, if they are chadoshos," and we explained before that yishanos has to do with something that by looking at the knots you can recognize them as real tefillin. But if you can't recognize the knots, so there's a chashash that they are amulets. But what are we really dealing with? We're dealing with something that looks like tefillin. So what do we see? Someone would invest effort to make something that we'll still suspect is an amulet, even though a lot of tircha was invested. So if you go back to the issue of the shizurin mufsakim, the strings that were dyed and cut to size, maybe the fact that it would require effort to reattach them, someone might still do that for the purpose of a glima. Omar, so what we see here is Rava is raising his doubts about using tircha as a means of determining something. Omar Rabbi Zera li Ahava Brei. Rabbi Zera says to his son, his son's name was Ava, "Poke Tony Lahu, go out and teach them the following." The Rashi adds here, "Poke Tony Lahu, Lahanoch Rabbonon de Bei Midrasha." Those rabbis in the base medrash, the Koshi Lahu b'de Rebbe Lozer, that have difficulties with that which Rebbe Lozer taught, "Say v'shanei lehem, go and tell them, teach them sheish biyodi brisa de mesaya lei. I have a Tanaic source that supports Rebbe Eliezer, umefarshes taimo behedya lefishen adam toreach, and points out explicitly that the tircha factor is a determining method. And what does the source say? Hamotze tcheles b'shuk, one who finds dyed wool in the market, out in the public. Lishonos psulim, if they are in lishonos form, they are not fit to be used as tzitzis. Chutin mufsakim ksherim lefi she'ein odom toreach. And we dashed underline this expression, because if they're chutin mufsakim, a person wouldn't trouble himself to reattach them, to tie them together, to then use in a glima. Omar Rava. Rava responds, "Umishum de toni lo ava brei de Rabbi Zera kifi toli tololo." And just because Rabbi Zera taught his son this Tanaic source, does that mean it's so special? Rashi says, "Kifi margolis shnachim nizomim," means he's decorating his source with all kinds of gems and jewels. V'hotnan, we have the following counter source, that which Rava cited earlier. earlier. Bamed v'mumurim, when do we allow you are saving the tefillin-like objects? Bishonis, when it's clear that it's tefillin. Aval b'chadoshes poter. But with those that are not so obviously tefillin, you're not expected, you're not obligated to save them because of the suspicion that they are in fact amulets. They're kneim. Elo Omar Rava. Torach velo torach tanoi hi. The issue of tircha as being a determining factor is a machloikis tanoim. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, and this source will continue to the upper part of Tzadi Zayin Omid Aleph. Hamosi tefillin, machnison zug zug. One who finds tefillin lying out in the fields, he brings them in pair by pair. Echod ha'ish ve'echod ha'isha. Echod chadoshois, notice the dash underline there. Ve'echod yishonos, divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says even if there is a chashash, or they're chadoshos, he says you can wear them in on Shabbos, indicating that as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, they're not amulets. A person would not be toreach to make an amulet that looks like tefillin. So Rebbe Meir uses tircha as a means of determining. Rebbe Yehuda osir b'chadoshos u'matir b'yishonos. Rebbe Yehuda though says if they're chadoshos, I'm not going to allow you to wear them in on Shabbos. Alma mor sovar torach inish. Rebbe Yehuda shows you that a person will matriach for something even if it's not mitzvah related. U'mor sovar lo torach inish. And Rebbe Meir says, If it wasn't real tefillin, he wouldn't have torech, he wouldn't have extended himself to make an amulet looking like tefillin. So Rebbe Meir does use the tircha factor as a means of determining things. Before we conclude, we just want to remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.